Bless the Lord. Well, we are missing a number of our ladies today at the Women's Conference. Lord, be with them in Jesus' name. The children all get to stay up today. And I have a special message for children and parents today. I do want to thank the Lord for all of our visitors today. And Fabian, it has the joy of having your fiancé, Alex, from New York City today. I want to say hi to Alex. They are, we were just talking this morning, they're planning to get married in March, so bless the Lord. Fabian and Alex back there, welcome. Well, As I said, I have a message for children and parents today. I want to talk about a couple boys that really like to wrestle with one another. All right, sometimes cousins like to wrestle one another, right, Joshua and Trey? Uh-huh, even on the pavement sometimes. Mm-hmm, I heard about that. All right, and I know brothers like to wrestle, right, Elliot and Luke? All right, sometimes have a clap recline, get a little bit involved into it, and back and forth. You know, I was watching a documentary yesterday about Mean Joe Green. Mean Joe Green of Pittsburgh Steelers fame. And he came from Texas. And he didn't like being bullied when he was growing up. And finally, he licked the bully. He beat the bully. And to him, football, he'd be just out there and it'd be like he'd be fighting. All right? But then we've all seen the Pepsi commercial, right? All right? Mean Joe Green. And in his older age, he wasn't so mean anymore. He became like a teddy bear. Mean Joe Green. Well, I want to encourage and challenge all of the children today to love your brother and your sister. To love your brother and your sister. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." See, Proverbs are generally wise sayings. They really kind of say what is about life. All right, we need to treat literature the way it is. We have promises in the Word of God. We have prophecies in the Word of God. Well, Proverbs are generally wise sayings. And it's a generally wise thing to know that a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Brothers have challenging relationships with one another. Sisters have challenging relationships with one another. It goes against the grain to love one another. Our natural tendency, the way our sin nature is that brothers like to fight and sisters like to fight. And I want to talk with you about two boys who started fighting in their mother's womb, even. In their mother's womb. There were these two boys that the mother could tell. The Bible says they were jostling one another in the womb. There was something going on in the womb, so much so that the mother had to go, her name was Rebecca, and go to a place and pray about this situation. She could tell there was a wrestling going on in her womb. And these were twin boys. They were jostling each other in the womb. And when they came out, one of these boys, the first one, he had a red body. He was very hairy. All right, and was Matthew hairy when he came out?
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right, and he came out. You know, this red hairy boy. Okay, and his name was
Esau.
All right, his name was Esau. But then right behind him, there was this other boy who had his hand on Esau's foot. All right. He was grabbing, it says, with his hand grasping Esau's heel. All right. He's like, "No, I want to be out first. I want to come out first." He was trying to grab him back in. All right. "I want to come out first." All right. And that boy's name was given as Jacob. And I want to let you know what the name Jacob means, because it's significant to the story as we continue on. The name Jacob means he deceives. He deceives. Well, as these two boys grew up, Esau became a very skillful hunter. in the open country. He was like a man's man, all right? He was out there in the countryside. You know, he liked to hunt big game, all right? And he ended up becoming his dad's favorite, all right? Because his dad liked to eat, all right? And he liked to eat big game, all right? And, you know, he became his dad's favorite. Well, Jacob became a quiet man, staying among the tents. And Esau was loved by his father Isaac. And the Bible says Jacob was loved by his mother Rebekah. And this is where parents come in. Parents, it's not good to show favoritism. All right? All right, we have to endeavor to love all of our children and to communicate unconditional love to all of our children. But children, you got to understand that different children, okay, sometimes you have to take different tactics with you at different points, okay? Because maybe one child might be really strong-willed and another child might be more, compliant. And so as parents, you got to recognize children that sometimes parents have to take different tactics, and that does not mean they're being unfair. Well, one day, as Jacob was at home cooking some stew, some lentils. How many here like lentils? I like lentils. All right, they're tasty. All right. Well, Jake was cooking some lentil stew, and Esau came in from the open country, and he was hungry. Children, how many of you know when you're hungry? You're famished. Maybe you've been out all day long. You've been at school all day long, and you can't wait to get home and get that snack. All right? To get that snack. Well, Esau was like that. He came home, and the Bible says he was famished. And he saw those lentils. He saw that stew. All right? Have you ever noticed when you come home and your mom's cooking something really nice and it smells good and you want to go over there and you want to start, you know, picking at that and tasting that and so forth, and your mom's kind of got to, you know, slap your hand and say, wait, wait, wait. All right? Well, Esau said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. Well, Jacob was a smart brother. All right? He was a smart brother. You know, I know my boys. See, Caleb, he's like a businessman. You know, he's got all this cash stuffed away in his bed and stuff like that. He's got all this money, you know, in his room. He's trying to, you know, he saves money and so forth. And then he's got all this, he's got this candy stash as well in his room. All right? And his younger brothers know it. And you're thinking about, Caleb doesn't even eat the candy. He's just got it there. All right? And so, you know, Nehemiah might come over and say, you know, can I have a candy bar? You know, you got all this candy. Can I have a candy bar? And Caleb says, how much you pay me for it? You know? You know, and Caleb's always trying to make deals, whether it's a Game Boy. You know, he might have this Game Boy that he doesn't even use anymore. You know, it's there, and you know, well, how much you pay me for it? I mean, it got to be so bad, the deals that they were making, that we had to make a decision as mommy and daddy, that mommy and daddy have to approve the deal before the deal is made. We have to approve the deal. All right? Well, brothers can do this. Sisters can do this. You know, you want my toy? How much are you going to pay me for it? You know, what can I get in return? Well, Esau was famished, and he wanted some of Jacob's stew. And Jacob saw an opportunity. And Jacob said, first, sell me your birthright. He wanted to make a deal. And Esau says, look, I'm about to die. What good is a birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So Esau swore an oath to Jacob, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread. We're in Genesis 25, by the way, in case you would like to know that. The end of Genesis 25. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. And the Bible says, so Esau despised his birthright. Young people, children, God has created you with a purpose. You have a birthright in the kingdom of God. You have a destiny. And you don't want to sell your destiny for lentil stew. You don't want to sell your destiny for soup. You don't, no matter how good it tastes. My wife and I, we loved going to Panera. All right? That's like your favorite restaurant. All right? And I like getting their soups. How many of you had the soups at Panera? This isn't supposed to be a Panera commercial. All right? But they've got some good soup. It's not worth it to sell your birthright. It's not worth it to sell your destiny. And you might think, soup? All right, but really what this is referring to is, as young people, as you're growing older, Luke, as you're growing older, and Ara, as you're growing older, and, you know, Peno, and Promise, and Blessing, and Stefan, as you're growing older, what it is, it's talking about selling your destiny in God for the physical pleasures of this world. All right? Well, you're going to say, well, you know, I'm just going to go for the temporary pleasure. I'm going to go for the physical pleasure. I'm going to go for what I want now. And I'm going to sell my destiny in Christ. And God is calling you to take a long-term view toward life. God is calling you, young people, to take an eternal perspective toward life. God is calling you to understand that God has a plan for you, a destiny for you over time that He is going to bring about in your life, and to not sell it short by going after physical pleasures of this world. To not sell it short. Well, Esau and Jacob grew older. And moving on to Genesis chapter 27, their father Isaac was becoming old, so old that he could hardly see. And he realized that he was about to die. And it was time for their father Isaac to give his blessing. And so Isaac called Esau to him, and it says in chapter 27, verse 2, he said, "I am now an old man and don't know what day I'm going to die. Now then," he's talking to Esau, "get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." You know, the blessing of a parent is a very important thing. Parents, the blessing in the ancient days was really a legal transaction that took place. But thank God, in the new covenant in Christ, we can bless all of our children. We don't have to play favorites. We can bless our children every day with the words of our mouth. And yes, with the loving discipline that we apply every day, we can bless our children. We need to be full of blessing. We need to give 100% encouragement and 100% discipline and 100% love, 100% blessing. Discipline does not come against blessing. Discipline does not come against love. We need to be 100%ers in blessing our children. Now, you know, God uses people all through Scripture that are fallible people. Thank God. Raise your hand if you're a fallible person. All right, I'm raising my hand the highest. Okay? Their mother, Rebecca, was overhearing their conversation. And Rebecca was listening. All right? And you remember Rebecca, her favorite was Jacob. And she overheard this. And Rebecca went to her son Jacob and said, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son," Rebecca is talking to Jacob, the younger now. "Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it." See, this is the way we got food in the olden days. We have a friend named John Wallahan that, you know, goes out and shoots deer and then he skins it and cooks it. And we've actually eaten it, right, Nehemiah? Yes, we have. All right. Okay, they didn't go to the grocery store, Giant or Safeway, to get their food. All right, they went out in the country and got their food, went among the flocks. And so the mother said to Jacob, then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. And so the parents were playing favorites. Esau's father favored him. Jacob's mother favored him. Well, Jacob was concerned about this plan. All right, and sometimes our children sometimes speak truth to us as parents. All right, and he said, but my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. So Jacob was concerned about this plan. But his mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. You know, sometimes we as parents, we err. And children, you need to know that sometimes we as parents, we err. But sometimes when we err, we need to be able to go back to our children and say, you know, son, mommy and daddy really messed up in this situation. We made a mistake. We sinned, really. And confess that before our children. And to be willing to acknowledge that sometimes we make a mistake. All right, I know that I've done that with my children. And our children can understand that there is a right principle there. There is something right. It's just that mom and dad aren't perfect, but we're reaffirming God's principle here. Amen. Well, they went ahead with this plan. All right, and Jacob went to his father and said, my father. And his father said, yes, my son, who is it? And Jacob said to Isaac, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Jacob then was deceiving his father. How many of you children have ever deceived your parents? How many of you ever lied to your parents? All right. Jacob was deceiving his father. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? And Jacob replied, the Lord your God gave me success. Again, he was lying. Have you ever noticed, children, when you lie, that you kind of have to keep on lying to cover up your lie? Have you ever noticed that? Okay. All right. That, you know, a pack of lies sometimes falls flat on itself. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. And Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. Are you really my son, Esau? He asked. I am, he replied. See, he had to keep on lying, all right, to keep that going. So Jacob brought him the food, and he ate. He brought him some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So Jacob went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. So Isaac blessed Jacob. It wasn't just a little bit after that that Esau came back home and came back in from hunting. And Esau prepared the tasty food, and he brought it to his father. And Esau said to his father Isaac, my father, sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing. And his father Isaac asked him, who are you? I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. And you know what happened? Isaac trembled. He trembled violently. And he said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. Bless me too, my father. Bless me too, my father. And parents, there is bitterness for a child that is not blessed by a parent. It's something that we have to work at. I have a little bit of a something that I use as a bookmark that probably I would say maybe 10 years ago, I wrote myself a little bit of a note to remind me how Caleb is different from Anna. To remind me how they are different. And how I needed to have a different approach with Caleb than I did with Anna. You know, we have our children, and sometimes we want all of our children to be alike. We want them to maybe have the same attitude or the same demeanor or the same perspective toward life. And that can be a challenge for us as parents. And I hope, children, that you pray for us as parents. But as parents, we need to remember that our children are different. There may be ones that, we maybe naturally gravitate towards others, but it's very important for us to rule our souls and our hearts and our inner beings to show love towards each of our children, to show blessing towards each of our children, to not have a sense of where there's favorites among our children. But he said, the father said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Aren't we grateful that we can bless all of our children in the new covenant with Christ? Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered him, I have made him Lord over you, and I made all his relatives his servants. See, that included Esau. And I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Very, very sad. Very, very sad. As parents, we need to bless all of our children. We need to bless all of our children. It says in verse 41 that Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. Esau held a grudge. What's a grudge, children? What is a grudge? Ire? Alright, and you stay angry. Alright, okay. You don't forgive. Alright, you get upset about something your brother or sister has done, but then you stay angry. You hold a grudge against that person. And what can happen when we hold a grudge, when we don't forgive? Alright, the Word of God calls us to forgive, give unlimited forgiveness. When we hold a grudge, that grudge can turn to hatred. And hatred is the basis of murder. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 21. In Matthew 5, verse 21, it said, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift. And so Jesus was getting to the heart of murder, children. You know, we get angry with one another sometimes. Alright? And that first flash of anger isn't necessarily sin. But it's when we really indulge that anger. And that anger becomes a grudge. And we start thinking of ways that we can get even at our brother or sister. And get back at our brother or sister. And then it can develop into an entrenched thing called hatred. And Jesus was getting to the heart of the matter. And he says, that's the issue of murder. That grudge, that hatred, that desire for revenge. And what you need to do, children, is to learn a principle that God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And to be willing to forgive a person and to give that person over to the Lord. And let the Lord take care of that person. Let the Lord take care of that situation where you don't have to take vengeance. You don't have to take revenge to not keep a grudge. Let's turn back to Genesis and back to the story between Esau and Jacob. How do you think the story is going to end? Does anyone know how the story is going to end? Well, don't tell us yet. All right. So Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." It sounds like the mafia. Sounds like the Godfather. If you've seen the Godfather, probably you children haven't seen the Godfather, but the older ones. So Esau said, "We'll wait till the days of mourning for my father have ended. We'll wait till my father has passed away and the days of mourning have ended." And then Esau said, "I will kill Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" All right. And so there was this hatred that Esau developed for Jacob. Well, Jacob and Esau continued to grow. They got older. Both Jacob and Esau got married. They had children. But Jacob and Esau still had unresolved issues. They still had not reconciled. And children, one of the most important things you can have as your goal in life is to have it your goal to be best friends with your siblings. To have as your goal to be best friends with your brother. To have as your goal to be best friends with your sister. Because that's something that's going to be important to you later on in life. And many people, they have issues, all right? I can remember with my brother Paul, we would play one-on-one basketball, and he was always trying to beat me. I was the oldest, okay, and he was the second oldest, and he was always trying to beat me, and we had one-on-one basketball games that resembled fights more than basketball, all right? I mean, they were like brutal. I can remember later on in life when we were adults going on a long walk together. And we kind of had it out. All right? We kind of had, we weren't fighting, but we were talking. I did a little bit of arguing. And we kind of had it out. Okay? And we came to an understanding together. But my point is this. You want to resolve your issues early in life so that they're not dragged into your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s. That you can be best friends because God will use you to advance His kingdom, to walk together. God wants to use you, Luke and Elliot, to advance His kingdom together. God wants to use you, Nathaniel and Yoel, to advance His kingdom together. God wants to use you, Trey and Tegan and Chloe and Joshua and Zoe, to advance His kingdom together. God wants to use you, Stefan and Andreas and Marcus, to advance His kingdom together. All right? To be used for His kingdom to be advanced. Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to skip Jacob's dream. All right, he had a very nice dream. You can read about that in chapter 30. But let's go to chapter 32. And again, Jacob developed a fear of his brother Esau. All right? It says in Genesis 32:1, Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, "This is what you are to say to my master Esau. Your servant Jacob says, I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, men servants and maid servants. Now I am sending this message to my Lord that I might find favor in your eyes. So Jacob was sending a message to Esau to find favor in Esau's eyes. I want all of the older siblings, if you have a younger sibling, I want you to look at me right now. If you have a younger brother or sister, I want you to know that your younger brother or sister really desires that you love him or her, that you like him or her, that you will be their friend. Your younger brother or sister really looks up to you and wants your favor. Wants your favor in his or her life. They really look up to you. So you want to, you know, all the older ones in here, you want to remember that your siblings that are younger than you naturally desire you to like them. Okay? They want your favor. And this is something in young people's lives. They want the favor of their older sibling. Well, look at verse 6. When the messengers that Jacob had sent out to Esau, when the messengers returned to Jacob from Esau, they said, we went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. Now, it sounds ominous. We don't know Esau's intention. All right? But it sounds ominous. Esau is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. Well, when Jacob heard that, he was afraid. He responded in fear. And sometimes younger siblings get afraid. All right? They get afraid of their older sibling maybe wanting to hit them. All right? Or do this and that. Okay? Well, in great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. And so Jacob had fear of Esau. And older siblings, you need to recognize that sometimes younger siblings fear you. Especially if you've done things like hit them and hurt them. All right? They can fear you. All right? And God, again, is calling you to have a great relationship together. Remember, it goes against the grain. It goes against our natural tendency. But I want to challenge you and encourage you to be best friends with your siblings. To be best friends. Make it your goal to be best friends with your siblings. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father, Abraham, God of my father, Isaac, O Lord who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. He spent the night there. And from what Jacob had with him, Jacob selected a gift for his brother Esau. Jacob selected a gift for his brother Esau. Proverbs 18:16 says, a gift opens the way for the giver. A gift opens the way for the giver. Now get this. Look at this gift. This gift that Jacob gave his brother Esau was 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. He gave them all this, all these herds of animals as a gift. And in that day and age, that was what was important. It was land, it was real estate, it was herds of animals. Okay, that's how one showed his wealth. And Jacob instructed the one in the lead, When my brother Esau meets you and asks, to whom do you belong and where are you going and who owns all these animals in front of you, then you are to say, they belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us. So what Jacob did is he put all these herds of animals in front of him, along with servants, to go. And every time they would come up against another herd, the man that was shepherding that herd would say to Esau, these are from your servant Jacob, and this is a gift for you, my lord, to give to you. And there was maybe five of them. Okay, one after the other, herds of animals. All right, that were going to meet Esau. It says in verse 19, he also instructed the second, the third, and all the others who followed the herds. You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him, and be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he thought, I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. Later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me. So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. Children, have you ever given a gift to your sibling because you wanted your sibling's favor? Your sibling is your brother or your sister. Have you ever done that? All right. Well, maybe it'll be a way to pacify your older brother at times. Well, look at verse 22. Remember Jacob and Esau wrestling in the womb? Well, Jacob was a wrestler. Any wrestlers in here? That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and we won't talk about that right now, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. I'll leave that up to you parents this afternoon. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with Jacob till daybreak. That was a wrestling match. All night wrestling match. When the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, the man touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. So Jacob is wrestling with God. And the man touches his hip, and his hip becomes injured. And sometimes in life, when we're going through life, when we're dealing with our siblings and family matters and so forth, we get something that might be an injury. It may not be a hip that is injured, but maybe it might be a place in our heart and a place in our being that has an injury, that there's something that happened in family life, there's something that happened maybe with a brother or sister that is a weak spot in our life. It's kind of a chink in our armor. The Apostle Paul asked that God would remove the thorn in his flesh. All right, that God would remove this, whatever this thorn was in his flesh. And he prayed out to God three times. And God's answer was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes the Lord allows there to be a thorn in our flesh. Sometimes the Lord allows there to be a place of weakness that has occurred in our life. And to have that there where it's used by God to kind of cause us to cry out to the Lord, to ask God to help us, to ask God to work in our life so that we can be dependent upon Him. Well, Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob wanted blessing. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. That was a key moment in Jacob's life. Jacob's name, which meant he deceives, was now changed to Israel. And Israel means he struggles with God. And you know, children, and all of us children, we need to struggle with God. We need to, as parents, allow our teenagers to struggle with God. More so than struggle with us. sometimes there's an issue that we're dealing with, and, you know, mom and dad, can I do this thing? I want to do this thing. You know, all these other teenagers get to do it. How come I can't do it? I want to go to this party or do that thing and so forth. And we try to argue with them and so forth. And sometimes we have to say, I want you to deal with God. I want you to go to the Scriptures. I want you to go to the Bible. You're a Christian. You are a disciple of Christ. Go to God. All right? I want you to wrestle with God. Sometimes we get in the way of our young people wrestling with God on a certain matter. And for children, I want to encourage you to wrestle with God. Don't wrestle so much with your siblings, your brothers and sisters. Don't wrestle so much with your parents. But wrestle with God. Get with God. Cry out to God. Make your issue with God. Go to God's Word. Find out what God says about a matter. Struggle with God. And get your breakthrough with God. See, the breakthrough here that Jacob had, he needed a breakthrough with God. He still, you know, he needed a breakthrough with God before he got the breakthrough with his brother. All right? And sometimes it leaves a limp, all right, in our life, as we talked about. Whatever issues we have, to not make the issue, young people, with our parents. To not make the issue, young people, with our teachers or with our siblings. But to go to God and go to His Word and to ask God and wrestle with God and get your answer from Him, and you will be blessed. Get your marching orders from the Lord, young people, and you will be blessed. Wrestle with God. Well, he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed them there. So Jacob called the place Peniel. Where's Peniel? There he is. That's what Peniel was named after, right, Alfred? All right. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." To see God face to face, that's where all of our striving will cease. "And yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon." Well, what happened between Jacob and Esau? We still don't know. What happened between Jacob and Esau? Well, look at chapter 33. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So Jacob divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. He put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. That's a whole other story between Jacob and Joseph. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. What is the difference now? Now that Jacob has wrestled with God, now that Jacob has a name that no longer means he deceives, now that Jacob has a name of Israel, all right, before he was sending all these droves, these herds on ahead, all right, and he was going to be behind. But now, Jacob is going ahead. Jacob is meeting his brother forthrightly. He's going to, whatever the situation is, he's going to be forthright. He's going to meet his brother one-on-one. And as Jacob went on ahead, he bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. A totally different perspective from before, from the deceit. All right, and sometimes our younger brothers, you know, older brothers, we don't like maybe how our parents go and tell our parents stories on us, and maybe there's some deception, maybe there's some pride there. But Jacob has changed. All right, he has wrestled with God. He's changed. His name has changed, and he approaches brother in a humble way, bowing 7 times. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. I want all the siblings right now to hug each other. And they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. "Who are these with you?" he asked. Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." Then the maidservants and the children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. And Esau asked, what do you mean by all these droves I met? All right, all these droves, all these herds. What is this? All right, all these gifts. And Jacob said, to find favor in your eyes, my lord. But Esau said, I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. No, please, said Jacob. If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God. I had an experience this Thursday night where I saw someone's face, and it was like seeing the face of God. Now that you have received me favorably, please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted. So, what happened between Jacob, or Israel, and Esau? What happened, children? Did they beat each other up? Did they have hatred toward each other? Did they keep the grudge? Did they shoot each other with bows and arrows? What happened? They embraced each other. They loved each other. They kissed each other. Let's all stand. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Children, I want to encourage you to make it your goal to be best friends with your brother or your sister. Make it your goal to have a great relationship with your brother and your sister. Trust the Lord and follow Him. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you for every child here. I thank you for every parent. And as parents, we, as Bill and Andrea recently have experienced, children are a blessing from the Lord. When we have children, it means that God has blessed us. And Father, I just thank you for the blessing of our children. And I thank you that we don't have to wait till the end of our life to bless our children. I thank you that we can bless our children every day of their lives, that we can communicate blessing over them. Lord God, that we can have all of our children be our favorites. We can show favoritism to all of our children. We can show the favor of God. We can show the grace of God to all of our children, Lord God. And Father, I lift up every child here, Lord God. Make it their goal to be best friends with their siblings, to be best friends with their brothers and sisters, to be best friends with their cousins, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, that they would learn the secret of forgiveness, that they learn that forgiveness is the great equalizer of life, that if we try to hold everyone accountable for every sin that went down the pike, Lord God, we just couldn't do it, Lord God. But because of your great love for us, because of your mercy and grace, you forgave us all our sins. So how could we hold a sin of unforgiveness, of resentment, or grudge, or hatred against our brother or against our sister? Because you've forgiven us so much, Lord God. And so we choose to walk in the secret of forgiveness, Lord God, that we don't have to make everything even. Lord God, everything doesn't have to be fair in life, that we can forgive, we can walk by the grace of God, we can love our brothers. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, for a competition in each of our families, for the competition of love. Lord God, who's going to love the most? Who's going to forgive the most? Who's going to show the most grace? Who's going to show the most favor? Lord God, I pray for competitions of love in our families, Lord God. And I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a blessed day in the Lord.